Thank you, Mr. Casperson. Good morning. As this nation moves further and further from God and His laws, the blessings that we have enjoyed are starting to disappear. I mean, as Christians, we are clearly seeing the consequences for disobedience. In Leviticus chapter 26, God really has a warning for defiant behavior. And the punishments, the curses listed in Leviticus 26 include sickness and disease and drought and crop failures and famine and pestilence. It also warns that God's protection from foreign enemies will disappear. And we can see that this prophecy is starting to play out in this country. Because we are the descendants of Abraham, God has promised blessings to this nation, but He's not required to continue those blessings indefinitely. Many other prophecies make it clear that the curses of Leviticus 26 are starting to happen again to modern-day Israel, the descendants of Israel, and really, they're even worse than what they were before. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 29. In Deuteronomy chapter 29, we'll read verses 24 and 25. It says, "Indeed, all the nations will wonder, why has the Lord done this to the land? What caused this great display of anger? They will conclude it is because they have abandoned the covenant of the Lord, the God of their ancestors." I mean, we should also consider that many of God's laws are self-enforcing, meaning breaking them will automatically bring consequences. They'll bring punishment. We see this in Jeremiah 2, verse 19. Jeremiah 2, verse 19, it says, "Your own wickedness will correct you, and your backslidings will reprove you." When we read Leviticus 26, I mean, it appears that wave after wave of problems are going to hit this country as God begins to break the pride of its power. And just looking at recent history, I mean, we can see this to be true. Think of like several years ago when the Columbia space shuttle disaster happened, or think of the Y2K scare that showed that really our technology is kind of hollow. Think of the last several presidential races that really showed us that the reliability of our government is questionable, if not downright fragile. Look at the collapse of the financial and housing markets that happened several years ago. That really shows that our financial system is starting to be suspect. Yes, it goes way up, it goes way down. There's not a whole lot of stability in it, even though right now it appears it might be strong. Well, think of the events of 9/11 or Sandy Hook that happened right in this area. I mean, it really showed that the security of this nation is compromised, and even our children are not safe. There's this incredible verse in Acts 17. Turn to Acts chapter 17. And we're going to read verse 26. Acts 17, verse 26, it says, "From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their land." Well, I believe that this verse shows that God has specifically called us out of this world to be used at this very time in history. So today, let's review a couple things about this environment in the midst of this sort of ever-increasing fray that we're seeing starting to happen. And then let's look at one very specific action that God is calling us to do. In this environment, God has called us out to do one very specific thing. When you think about all the traumatic events that are starting to happen or have recently hit this country, and knowing that there is going to be more, I mean, there's a few points that we need to remember about this environment, about the traumas that this nation is going through as it moves further and further from God. And the first one is that traumas that will hit this country are inevitable. I mean, as this country moves further and further from God, consequences are going to be played out. When God was taking ancient Israel out of Egypt, I mean, one of the reasons for the plagues was to show Israel just how powerful their God was. But it's interesting to realize that in the end, the Egyptian people saw and believed God's power, but the Israelis did not. Well, today, America is really not acting much different. God's warning to this nation are not being heeded. God has called us when more and more difficult times and discouragement will be around us. This is when we are called. I mean, there are times of suffering and sorrow and sickness that will hit this country. There will be times of frustration and failure and just fatigue. I mean, just listening to the news exhausts you. Well, they are part of the plan that God is using to break the pride of this nation. We should not be surprised by these events that are starting to hit this country. So the first thing is, yes, these traumas are inevitable. But the second thing that we need to remember is that they're unpredictable. We cannot plan or schedule them. I mean, traumas are always unexpected. They come suddenly. What might seem like just a normal day at the beginning, and then suddenly this major event, this life-changing event, will happen. Jeremiah 4, verse 20. I think reinforces this in Jeremiah 4, verse 20. It says, disaster follows disaster. In an instant, my tents are destroyed. My shelter falls in a moment. Traumas in this country, they're also impartial. No one is immune to them. No one is isolated from the pain and the sorrow that they cause. I mean, think of the hurricane that was just mentioned. There's a lot of church members that lost their homes, lost much of their property. I mean, as these things hit, everyone is going to be affected by them, good people and bad people. I mean, we're in the middle of an unraveling of this nation. Problems, trials, difficulties, disturbances, downtimes, depression. That's all the environment that we're starting to see around us. And the Bible is very clear that good things happen to bad people, and sometimes bad things will happen to good people. I mean, in this life, there is an element of time and chance. But then we also need to remember that as these events play out in this nation, that these traumas are temporary. They will have an end. They don't last. They are not permanent. God is using these trials and events that are starting to hit this nation to reach an outcome. I mean, we must remember that what's happening, it's just temporary. It's only for a while. Because traumas are also purposeful. God has a reason for taking us through these trials. I mean, they can serve multiple purposes. Obviously, the overall punishment to this country, but it can also serve to prove our faith. I mean, we might feel doubt or depression or discouragement, but you know what? God can use all of those emotions for good. God wants to build our faith in the valleys of life. So, as this turbulence is swirling around us, how do we respond? I mean, as Christians, how do we react to living in an unsafe world? I mean, where does our security come from? Well, as believers, we draw our strength from a different source than those who do not know God. In Psalms 124 and verse 8, in Psalms 124, verse 8, it says that our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I mean, that is good. That's a really good thing. But what does that mean in practical terms? I mean, how does that play out when we are living in times like we are living in now? Well, our security in an unsafe world comes from several areas that the scripture teaches us. The first thing that we need to clearly understand is that our security is in God. It is not of things in this world. He is our hope and nothing else. Psalms 20. Let's read verses 7 and 8 of Psalms 20. So I think sometimes we need to really be reminded of this. Psalms 20, verse 7, it says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we shall rise up and stand firm. I mean, our faith, sort of globally, or this nation, is not in our military power or our economic and financial institutions. Our hope is in the Lord our God. Psalms 55, verse 22 supports this. Psalms 55, verse 22 says, cast your cares on the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. The second truth that we need to have deeply planted in our lives is that our security is in our faith, not in our safety. Security is not about safety. It is about faith. It is about courage. Of course, we all want to be safe, but it's more important for us to be secure in our faith and find our courage in God as we go through what inevitably will be difficult times in this country. Psalms 125, verse 1. Psalms 125, verse 1 says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. Security is not the absence of trouble, but confidence and courage in the midst of trouble comes from our faith. I mean, our confidence should not be shaken because we have a God who's in complete control of this universe. That is the God that we worship. Psalm 16, verse 8. It's amazing how much David in the Psalms addresses this. Psalm 16, verse 8 says, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. In Psalms 121, verses 1 and 2. Psalms 121, verse 1 and 2. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I mean, what words could give us more courage than what Jesus says in John 16, verse 33? Words of encouragement from Jesus. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I mean, we have courage in this environment, not because we are strong, but because we have a God who is powerful beyond words, a God who rules over all. That should give us confidence. Third, our security is in eternity. It is not in the present circumstances. I mean, if we're looking only at the present circumstances of life, we will be shaken. But if we are grounded in eternity, if we look from an eternal perspective at what is happening, well, then we will stand firm. I mean, as Christians, our lives have an eternal dimension. I mean, we know that nothing that happens here can harm or change the thing that matters the most, and that is our relationship with God. I mean, nothing can take that away. No one can take that away. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, it says, now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. I mean, when we're grounded in eternity, our lives are built on a foundation that cannot be shaken. In Romans 8, verse 28. It's a very familiar verse. Romans 8, verse 28 tells us, and we know that in all things, God works for good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I mean, God works in all the situations of our lives to bring about his good. I mean, he doesn't cause bad situations, but God can use any situations that happen in our life. I mean, we understand the terrorist attacks that happened were not God's will. I mean, those things really went against what God's purpose and what his will is. God had nothing to do them, but God will use those things for an eternal purpose. Our confidence does not go up and down with stock market. Our security is not on how good the news is that day. Our confidence is not shaken when tragedies strike. I mean, God says in Psalms 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Finally, for security, we need to realize that the fact that even though life is dangerous, life is good. I mean, as Christians, we understand that there is evil in this world. But we also know that God has a plan. I mean, in the end, God will judge the evil that is in this world. Good will triumph over evil. Truth will be victorious over all the lies that are swirling around us. Love will win out over hate. God wins. Turn to Romans 8. I mean, I think this political environment that we're in now, there's just so much hate in this world. But you know what? We don't have to live there. We don't have to become part of that. Romans 8, I'll start in verse 35, and I'm going to read this out of the New Living Bible. It says, "Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or are hungry or cold or are in danger or threatened with death? No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from his love. Death can't, and life can't. The angels can't, and the demons can't. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, and even the powers of hell can't keep God's love away. Whether we are high above in the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Well, so with our calling, so with our being called out right now in these most difficult times in history, God wants those connected to him to do something very specific as we navigate through these troubled waters. And it can be found in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Please turn there. 2 Corinthians 1, let's read verses 3 through 5. "Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the suffering of Christ flows over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows." You see, when tragedy strikes, when these events happen around us and are going to start happening more and more, people need comfort. And when tragedy strikes, people need peace. People need hope in this environment. Well, Christ gives us comfort. He gives us that comfort. He loves us with an eternal love that will never die, that we read can never be separated from us. Well, having a relationship with God brings peace in the middle of all the troubled times that we might see around us. It brings us hope when we feel hopeless. It brings us strength when we are weak. And comfort doesn't remove our difficulties or the suffering that can be happening around us, but it does bring us strength. It does bring us encouragement and hope to deal with difficulties. John 14, verse 1. In John 14, verse 1, it shows us where our peace comes from. It says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me." I mean, the cure for a troubled heart that we might have is to trust God. I mean, our hope comes from an internal being. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. I mean, our hope comes from an eternal promise. I will never leave you or forsake you. Our hope comes from an eternal plan. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, to whoever believes in him might not perish but have eternal life. I mean, our hope comes from an eternal perspective. Now we know if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. I mean, that hanker that we have in troubled times, whether you realize it or not, is noticed by other people. I remember when 9/11 happened. The very next day, a coworker came up to me very concerned about her family and her family's future. And she asked me if I thought this was the start of the end time events in the Bible. Well, I was surprised that this question seemed to come out of nowhere. I mean, she asked me some very deep questions about the future of this country and about the tribulation and about events in the Bible. Well, I had never talked to her about my religion or my beliefs, but she was seeking comfort in troubling times. So again, if we are grounded, people are going to notice that and be drawn toward that during difficult times. I mean, no one knows what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. I mean, in these troubled times, people need comfort and peace and hope. Well, God has given comfort to us, so in turn, he wants us to do the same for others in this world. You know why? Because in the end, it points people to God. As we heard in the sermonette, our actions will glorify God. I mean, I can't help but think of Job's friends as they tried to comfort him. When Job was going through his trials, he had to put up with these ever increasingly irritating speeches by his three or four friends in which they condemned him more and more. And they had a mixture of truth and error when speaking to him, but they wrongly accused him of all kinds of sin and guilt and wickedness. I mean, Job described them as miserable comforters with long-winded speeches. I mean, he pointed out that he could make similar speeches if he wanted to, but they were absolutely no help to him at all. Well, when our friends and family are suffering, we need to avoid that same thing. I mean, we need to avoid being miserable comforters with long-winded, self-righteous speeches. I mean, Job tells us what we should do. He said that if the situations were reversed, he would encourage and comfort and strengthen them. He would soothe their suffering. Well, so how do we do that? I mean, how do we know what to say in an environment? Well, I got some good news. Because as this world becomes more and more chaotic, God does not leave us in the midst of this to fend for ourselves. Do you know why? Because God's Spirit is living inside each of us. I mean, through that Spirit, God equips us to handle whatever circumstance we might find ourselves in. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. Incredible promise from God for us in this very environment that we are in. Matthew 10, verse 19 and 20. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speaks, but the Spirit of the Father speaking through you. Well, one way that the Holy Spirit equips us is it gives us the right words to say when we find ourselves in the midst some incredibly difficult situations. John 14, verse 26, again reinforces this. John 14, verse 26, says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all things that I have said to you." And right there is a key. You see, the relationship with God needs to be strengthened right now. Bible study, prayer, meditation. I mean, a drawing near to God needs to happen in our lives right now. This is what is going to prepare us for the future and whatever happens. I mean, we should be thinking right now about creating an elevator speech to comfort others. Well, what's an elevator speech? Well, it's an analogy that refers to the length of time you have to talk to somebody. If you get into an elevator and you ride up 30 to 60 seconds to the next floor, I mean, what would you say to provide comfort and encouragement to somebody? Well, memorize some of the favorite comforting verses in the Bible. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Proverbs 23, verse 18. Deuteronomy 3, verse 22. Psalms 33, verse 20. Hebrews 13, verse 6. Jeremiah 17, verse 7. Romans 8, verse 18 and 19. Isaiah 12, verse 2, Psalms 23, verse 4, Psalms 46, verse 1. I could go on and on and on. You know what? Google comforting Bible verses, and this whole list will come up. Well, we should memorize some of our favorite ones of those. We should get those into our mind. And then trust God to give us the words to comfort others in turbulent times. You know, in conclusion, think about this topic and what is being asked of us. What is God? God called us right now in this environment. I mean, what is He asking us to do? Well, the key to what He's asking us to comfort others is what we are doing right now, our actions right now. Move closer to God now. Build a stronger relationship with God now. Make valuable use of our time learning the Word of God, so that in the end, through Christ Jesus, faith, peace, courage, hope will radiate out of us and will be given to others who so desperately need comfort in this ever crazy, crazy world. Because then our actions will glorify God.